And I was glad that Paul, when he was speaking to the children, did a spot the difference for us, because that helps me as I begin this morning. Because what I want to do this morning, in the brief time that we have left together, is to look both at the wise men, the story of the wise men that we read from Matthew chapter 2, and the story of the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, and do a kind of spot the difference between those two events, those two stories. There are many things that are very similar between the two stories, but there are several things that are quite different as well. And it's been fascinating to me to explore those similarities and differences over the last week, and I trust that you'll see some of that as we go through this morning. And in particular, what I'm interested in is the way in which the shepherds and the wise men came to hear the good news about Jesus. Because there's key differences, isn't there, in the way that the wise men and the shepherds came to see that good news. But before we get too far into looking at that, let's make sure that we've understood, well, what is the good news that they heard? So if you've got your Bibles open at Luke chapter 2 on page 905, it might help if you keep a finger in Matthew chapter 2 on page 849. I've got two Bibles up here, so it's easy for me. I'm sorry if it's a little tricky for you, but hopefully you'll be able to keep up. So Luke chapter 2, verse 11. Here's the good news that the angels brought to the shepherd, or a little part of it. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord." So there's the good news. There's been a baby that's been born, and he is not just any old baby. I shouldn't say that, should I? I don't want to upset Sir Rachel or Paul or Sean, or not just any old baby, but he is Christ the Lord. He is a Saviour, a very special baby. And if we go to Matthew chapter 1 this time, not chapter 2, Matthew chapter 1, where we read about the angel who came to see Mary, we find that Matthew's message is just the same. "She will bring forth a son, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." That's the message. That's the good news, that here is somebody who's been born, not just any old baby, but a very special baby, a baby who's going to save people from their sins. And again, as Paul said to the children, that is something that every one of us needs. We know very well, don't we, that none of us are perfect. I'm sure there would be nobody here who would claim to be perfect. We're just not that foolish, are we? We are foolish, but we're not that foolish. We wouldn't claim to be perfect. We might perhaps think that we're good enough, but we wouldn't claim to be perfect. Well, the Bible says good enough isn't good enough. And actually, if we're to go to that perfect place called heaven and spend eternity with a perfect being who is God, then obviously we need to be perfect. And the Bible says if we're not perfect, then we need saving. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the Saviour, who is Christ the Lord, who will save his people from their sins. That's the good news. That because of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is hope. There is hope of having our sins forgiven. There is hope of having peace with God. There is hope of having everlasting life. If it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ, there would be none of that. But because of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is all of that. And that is the good news that the angels brought. So that's the good news. But as we think about that good news, let's now compare and contrast, spot the difference between what the wise men heard and what the shepherds heard. I've got three things to say to you. Here's the first one. This good news comes in different ways. The good news comes in different ways. So when we read about the wise men, how did they come to hear about the good news? Well, what started it all off for the wise men was that star over Bethlehem, wasn't it? They saw this star right up there in the sky. And as a consequence of that star, somehow, it's a bit hard for us to work out exactly how, but somehow they realized that meant something significant. So they traveled towards the star until they got to Jerusalem. When they got to Jerusalem then, they knew that actually, although they'd seen the star, that wasn't enough for them to know exactly where to go or what to do. So they tried to use a bit of initiative, and they went to see Herod, and they went to see the chief priests and the scribes, and they then were able to explain from the Bible exactly where they should go. So the wise men had these two things. They had the star in the sky, and then they had the Bible that was read to them by the chief priests and the scribes. That was the wise men. But the shepherds' experience was quite different, wasn't it? They didn't seem to notice the star, and they didn't look in their Bibles as far as we can see. What happened to them? Well, a messenger came directly to them, didn't they? The angel came, and then the great heavenly host, and told them very directly and very clearly, let me tell you about Jesus. He's been born, he's in a manger, you need to go and see him. He's the Savior of the world. So the shepherds had a messenger who came to them. The wise men saw a star, they knew it meant something, couldn't really work out what, so they went, proactively went to find out about this star and ended up reading or having the Bible read to them so that they could understand what they'd seen. Well, this, I think, wonderfully illustrates for us how God still speaks today, doesn't it? Because God still speaks in these same ways, in the ways that he spoke to the shepherds and to the wise men. Not exactly the same ways, but in very similar ways. We don't have heavenly hosts come in and singing to us nowadays. At least that's not my experience. I suspect it's not yours either. We don't have a star, one star in the sky. But what we do have are millions of stars in the sky, don't we, that tell us of a vast universe beyond our comprehension that couldn't possibly have come into existence by mere chance, couldn't possibly have formulated by itself out of absolutely nothing, but surely must have been put there, designed by the one we call God. And surely as we look at that vast heavens and we can see all the world around us, surely that prompts us, or at least ought to prompt us, well, I need to find out more. What is this message that I can see in the creation? What is it that God wants me to know? And the creation that we can see can drive us and prompt us to start to ask questions, to start to seek out people who might be able to help us. And then eventually to find the Word of God, the Bible itself, where we might learn exactly what it is that God wants us to know. God still speaks in that way today through his creation, which encourages then to drive us on to find out more from his word. And God still speaks today in the same way that he spoke to the shepherds. Because the shepherds, you see, perhaps they did see the star, but maybe they didn't think much of it. Maybe they thought, oh, that's interesting, that star, wonder how that happened. And then just went back to chatting about whatever shepherds chatted about in that time. They didn't seem particularly proactive, did they? They had their job to do. They were faithfully doing their job. Some of them, no doubt, were sleeping. So what did God do? Well, he sent somebody to them. And so God still speaks in that way today as well. That men and women and boys and girls are sent by God to every corner of the world in order to tell people this wonderful message about Jesus. That's why I'm here this morning. It's why those others who preach from the church do so. It's why Nathaniel and Anna are in Japan. It's why Hansel and Jehun are trying to come here. It's why people teach in Sunday school and so on. It's why we speak to our neighbours and friends about the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, because God still speaks today through his messengers who he sends out. And that means, of course, doesn't it, that God is speaking now through his word and through his messengers. I'm no angel, but the message that I speak is the message that the angels had. God still speaks even today. I wonder if you can hear his voice. Well, good news then comes in different ways. That was the first thing I wanted you to note. Here's the second thing. This good news is for everyone. The good news is for everyone. If you were out with us on Friday as we visited some of the old people's homes nearby, you'll have heard me touch on this. Because when we compare and spot the difference between the shepherds and the wise men, we see what a great contrast it is. If we look at the shepherds, we find that they were from the same country. We're told that in Luke chapter 2, verse 8. They were very close to where Jesus was born. When we think about the wise men, they came from a very distant land, probably had a journey of nearly 1,000 miles to reach Jesus. When we think of the shepherds, we think of some very working class men. When we think of the wise men, we think of the ruling class. When we think of the shepherds, we think of people who are relatively poor. When we think of the wise men, we think of men who are rich and could bring gold and frankincense and myrrh. When we think of the shepherds, we think of people who were fairly dishonored and despised even in their society. Didn't have any honor particularly. When we think of the wise men, we think of men who were honored. Men who could go and see King Herod. Can you imagine what would have happened if the shepherds turned up at the palace trying to get to see King Herod? No way they would have been let in. When we think of the shepherds, in those days we think of uneducated men. The wise men, of course, were very learned men. So the shepherds and the wise men couldn't be more different. So why does these two accounts of that we have in the Gospels tell us about these people who are so different from one another, both doing the same thing, hearing the message about Jesus and then going to worship him? Why does the writers tell us that story? Well, it's very simple, isn't it? The writers want to understand this vital principle that good news is for everyone. You see, there's some people who look at the Christian message and think, well, that's for a certain group of people. Strangely, there are some folk who think that this is something for the Western world, as if Christianity was somehow invented in Europe. Well, of course, it's a Middle Eastern origin to all this story. These things happen in the Middle East. But some people think, well, this is something for white people, of people in Europe. Well, not at all. This is for people from all over the world. There are some people who think, well, Christianity, that's for middle-class people. Well, the shepherds weren't middle-class people. If it comes to it, the wise men weren't middle-class people either. No, this is something for everybody. There are some who think, well, this is something for those who are really having tough times and really struggling and need a little bit of a crutch to get through life. Well, I don't think either the shepherds or the wise men fell into that category. The shepherds would be pretty tough men, having to defend their flock against wild beasts and keep them all together. The wise men too, a journey of 900 miles across the desert, they weren't weak either. No, this is for everyone. You see, whoever you are this morning, whatever your circumstances or situation, the good news that the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners is good news for you. There is nobody who is excluded. There's nobody who's too poor. There's nobody who's too rich. Nobody who's too old. Nobody who's too young. Nobody who's too unimportant. You see, this is for everyone, which means obviously it's for you. So the good news comes in different ways. The good news is for everyone. Here's the third thing, the last thing that I want to share with you. And this is something that I hadn't seen until these last few days. I don't know how many times I've read Matthew chapter 2 and Luke chapter 2. Dozens, maybe even hundreds of times. I'm sure many of you have as well. And it may well be, probably is, that you've spotted this years ago. But for me, this is new. This is something that I only realized recently. Here's the third and final point. The good news is not what we might expect. The good news is not what we might expect. What do I mean by that? Well, here's what struck me. When the angels came to speak to the shepherds, they told them about Jesus who had been born. We read the verse earlier in verse 11 of Luke chapter 2. There is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. A Saviour who is Christ the Lord. Well, Christ, as some of you will know, is the same word. It's a Greek word, which is a translation of a Hebrew word that means Messiah. And Messiah means anointed one. And Messiah, therefore, is often used in a kingly context. It speaks about a king, because in the ancient Israelite society, the king would be anointed. So rather than a gold crown being put on his head, he would be anointed with oil. That's how they performed the ceremony in those days. So Christ, which means anointed one, speaks of a king. And not just any old king, if there was such a thing as any old king, but a king who is the Lord. So here is a great ruler, an anointed king who's a Lord. And that's the message that the shepherds were told. Well then, let's look at the wise men. What were they told about this one who was born? Well, we can go back to Matthew chapter 2 and verse 6. They're told as well that this babe will be a ruler. You can see that at the end of verse 6. But they're also told that this is a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Now, isn't that interesting? The shepherds are told about a great ruler. And the rulers, the wise men, are told about a shepherd. There's something else that's interesting as well. It's not just that seems a little bit out of kilter. There's something else. That as we think about the wise men, remember, these are men from a distant country. They're from the east, probably from Babylon or that area. What are they told? Well, they're told that this shepherd will shepherd his people Israel. So the foreigners are told that the baby is for the Jews. Well, what are the Jews called? The shepherds were Jews. They're told the opposite. They're told in verse 10 of Luke chapter 2, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. So the foreigners are told that the baby is for the Jews, and the Jews are told, well, it's for the foreigners, it's for everybody. This seems turned on its head, doesn't it? The kings, the three kings or the wise men are told that he will be a shepherd. The shepherds are told that he'll be a ruler. The foreigners are told that it'll be for Israel. Those from Israel are told it'll be for everyone. Isn't that a strange thing? Why does God do that? You might have thought that, well, it would be good, wouldn't it? The shepherds would understand if the angel had said to the shepherds, well, Jesus has come to be a shepherd, they'd get that. But God doesn't do that. He tells the wise men that Jesus is going to be a shepherd. Why does God do that? Well, we can't know for certain because we can't fathom the mind of God. But let me suggest perhaps two little reasons why God might have done it in this way. The first reason is this, that often we tend to think of Jesus in quite narrow terms, don't we? We've got some quite small ideas about who Jesus is. And actually, Jesus far exceeds our ideas. He's better than we imagine him to be. I wonder if you think of the Lord Jesus Christ as someone who's full of love. Well, if you do think that, you're absolutely right. But if you only think that, then you're wrong. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is full of love, but he's also somebody who is a judge, we're told. We're told that he was somebody who will judge the world. Even someone, therefore, to be fearful of. You see, if we've got this idea of Jesus Christ just being someone who is love, then maybe we need to be told, yes, but he's more than that. Maybe you're somebody here this morning who thinks, well, the Lord Jesus is the ruler of the universe, and there he is up in heaven, ruling over everything. Well, if you think that, you're right. But if that's all you think, then your view of Jesus is too small. Because as well as being the ruler of the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ is also somebody who loves individual men and women and boys and girls. Somebody who knows our hearts and knows our needs. Somebody who is not distant, but somebody who is very present and very close. Yes, he's the ruler of the universe, but if that's all you think, maybe you need to hear something different. Maybe you think that Jesus Christ is a figure of history. Well, if you do think that, you're right, he is a figure of history. But he's more than that. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is also somebody who is not merely a figure of history. He certainly is that. But the Bible tells us that after he died on the cross in the place of sinners, he rose from the dead. And even now is sitting at the right hand of God the Father. In other words, Jesus Christ is still alive. So he's a figure of history, yes, but he's a figure of today as well. You see, very often our picture of Jesus can be one that's too small. And we tend to think of Jesus in narrow terms. And by helping the shepherds and the wise men to think about Jesus in ways that maybe they hadn't thought of before, is perhaps a way of helping them to realize that Jesus is better than they ever imagined. Here's another reason why God may have done this. And not only do we tend to think of Jesus in narrow terms, but perhaps we tend to think of Jesus as really like us. Well, of course, again, that's true, isn't it? The Lord Jesus Christ is like us because he's a human being, as we are. But he's more than that, too, because the Bible teaches, as well as being 100% human being, he's also 100% God. He is like us. And you see, I think, therefore, as the shepherds, because what the shepherds know, they know about other shepherds. And they kind of tend to think in shepherdy ways. So when the angels tell the shepherds about Jesus, they want to give them something beyond their normal category. They'll have never met a king before, but today they'll meet a king. Well, the wise men, they're used to being with the rulers. That's the first thing they thought of. We'll go to Jerusalem, we've got a problem, we'll go and see the king. They maybe weren't used to meeting shepherds. Certainly weren't used to being shepherded, they were used to being in charge. So God wants to introduce them to the one who will shepherd, who will care, who will feed them, who will give them the things that maybe they didn't even know they needed. You see, we tend to think of Jesus only in our own terms. Well, Jesus is like us, but he's not like us. He's a man, but he's the God-man. He's the only one who could do this thing. He's the only one who could save his people from their sins. He's the only one who could be that great ruler of the universe and the ruler over our lives. He's the only one who could be the shepherd to provide you with all that you need, to lead you through those dark paths, to let you lie down by those still waters, to care for you, to meet your needs, to forgive you of your sins, and to take you to the Father's side. Only the Lord Jesus Christ could do that. You see, he's the great king, but he's also a great shepherd. The ruler of the universe, but one who it loves individual men and women and boys and girls. You see, the good news is maybe not quite what we might have expected. So I wonder, therefore, what about you? We've seen that the good news comes in different ways. It's come this morning through children singing, through Paul playing Spot the Difference, through the preaching of God's word. We've seen that as we think about the good news, we realize it's for everyone, not just for a few. And that means this good news is for you. And we've seen as well that the good news is maybe not quite what you might expect. Well, I wonder if this is good news to you. Do you believe what the Bible teaches about Jesus Christ? Have you trusted him for the forgiveness of your own sin? Have you come to him in repentance and faith? Do you believe that only through Jesus Christ can you go to heaven?